This is the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now from that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord! This must never happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The scandal of God. Last week, we heard Peter's proclamation when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter responded, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And in those words, we heard this voice of praise, praising this Christ who comes to lead his people, comes to be their Savior, comes to show them the way of a God who is alive and active in the world. And we praised God. We praised God as we praised God this morning when we sang, "All thy works with joy surround thee. Earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise." And we praised God's glory. But we also didn't get the full picture. And from that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, after that confession, that praise, Jesus began to really teach them what faith looks like. As long as God was glorified, there was a safe distance for Peter. As long as it was words of praise that were encouraged from his lips, Peter had it under control. Because in God's glory, there is that safe distance. God is firmly set above and beyond us in the heavens. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And that is reassuring and uplifting and joyful. And don't you just want to feel happy, Jesus? But Peter this morning, well, he is scandalized by what Jesus has to say to that. Jesus says to his disciples that he has to undergo great suffering in Jerusalem at the hands of those in power and ultimately be killed. Jesus says more after that, But I'm going to stop there. Sometimes we want to jump to the resurrection part of the story. The after 3 days, he'll be raised again, so it's really not that bad part of the story. But Peter couldn't jump to that resurrection part of the story. Peter couldn't even hear that resurrection part of the story, because then his words that he says next wouldn't make any sense. God forbid it, this must never happen to you. Jesus just said he was going to be resurrected from the dead. Let this never happen? Peter is not talking about the resurrection when he says that. He's talking about the very hard reality of death. He's talking about the suffering. He's talking about the loss. It says Jesus started speaking and said that he had to be killed. And as soon as Peter heard that, he just stopped listening. Has that ever happened to any of you? That someone's going along in conversation, or maybe a pastor is preaching a sermon, and something is said and your mind just stops taking in new information, and you're just off and like sort of spinning about the thing that had just been said? That's exactly what just happened to Peter. He doesn't hear the resurrection. He doesn't even hear it. And so let us stop with Peter and wrestle with what this means, this cross of Christ. The writer Wendell Berry wrote about the potency of staying in this moment of death, writing, "Unless we grieve like Mary at his grave, giving him up as lost, no Easter morning comes." Unless we really understand what this cross means, the fullness of what is to come will not come. We won't be able to comprehend it. We won't be able to understand it. We won't be able to even hear it. Peter is hit by grief in this moment and is in the denial of grieving. And Jesus here is in that denial of grieving, denial of who he is and who he has been sent to be. And who he is and who he has been sent to be is, yes, all of those things that we talked about in praise. Yes, the Son of the living God. Yes, the Anointed One. Yes, the Chosen. Yes, the Messiah. Yes, the Beloved. Yes, the very epitome of what love looks like in our world. Yes, the very epitome of what wisdom looks like in our world. Yes, the very epitome of what goodness is and kindness is and compassion is and justice is in our world. Yes, and more. Because Jesus doesn't stop with the good stuff. And thanks be to God that he does not. Martin Luther wrote in a work of his theology called the Heidelberg Disputation, which is a nice theological title for a thing. He wrote this about the cross. "Away then with all those prophets who say to the people of Christ, 'Peace, peace,' and there is no peace. Blessed be all those prophets who say to the people of Christ, 'Cross, cross,' and there is no cross." Martin Luther, in these words, confronts the trend of trying to avoid the pain in our life through our religion by pasting it over with good, happy things. Jesus didn't come to this world to paste over our life with just good, happy things. God didn't work through Jesus just to avoid dealing with the hard stuff of human life, just to sort of skip over that to the end. God came to this world, became enfleshed, became human, to become a part of our pain, and to make our human blood the blood of God, and to sound from every cry of human suffering the voice of God, who cries out in their own deep pain, even as we do. And this is the scandal of God. This is the thing that people could not understand. Neither the Jews, nor the Greeks, nor the Romans, none of them. They couldn't understand a God who would take on such weakness. A God who would take on human flesh and then just die. The stories of gods walking around among the people in Jesus' day were about heroes, about Hercules and Zeus, about people powerful beyond all human comprehension. And yet in Christ we see not an example of power, but a companion in our weakness. The scandal of God is that God took on our flesh and was killed on a cross, suffered and died so that all would be redeemed and resurrected, so that all might become available to the promise, and not available and hearing of that promise because it comes from an all-powerful voice that sounds over the cosmos but doesn't really connect with us. But because God in Jesus walks alongside us, walks alongside you, and joins you in your own pain, whatever that may be. Because in this act of incarnation and crucifixion, in this act of the cross, God eternally chooses to be with you, and to be with me, and to be with us in all of our frustrations in this world. Whether those are frustrations with the injustices of life, God walks with you. God does not abandon you in your sickness. God is there with you in the heartbreak and the pain of your relationships. God mourns with you in your deep grief. God cries with you in your pain and sits with you in your abandonment. Even when you feel all alone, Jesus Christ is there, because this is the love of Christ that goes to the very depths of our human experience, into the very core of where we suffer the most, into that pain that we keep hidden away from the rest of the world. Christ is there. God is with you. Do not push away your companion in suffering with cheap words of praise. Walk with Jesus. Jesus says, "Let them take up their cross and follow me." That deep pain in your life, that's your cross. And follow me. Jesus is there walking alongside you, attempting to carry it as well. Though Christ's way of death may seem weak, it is in this presumed weakness of just simply being present in all aspects of your life. It is through that persistence and eternal presence that God seeks to redeem you, to redeem not just the good parts of you, but all parts of you, all aspects of you, every moment of your life. And not only your life, but if you look to the person sitting next to you, every moment of their life as well. And if you look to the person behind you, every moment of their life as well. And if you look outside to the creatures of the world, to the trees and the grasses and the bees and the flowers and the butterflies and the caterpillars, every moment of their lives as well. And to redeem not just one, but all of creation. And on the other side of that redemption, then having come through the dark parts of life, then having come through with all of us, every part of us brought forward, let us shout glory once more. And then let field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, all of us rejoice in thee and sing glory with all that we are, because all that we are is seen and loved and carried and nurtured by God. Amen.
Servant. by my side, and with all of our family you've saved by your